significance. All I know is that we're doing a teaching on the family. Our title of the message is, "Are All in This Together?" It's like an awkward clap. I don't know what's going on. If you're new with us, just please come back next week. I'm just joking. We're doing teaching on the family. We had Duffy Robbins a couple weeks ago, Pastor Jermell Mayo last week, and 2 weeks ago. Then we talked last week about seasons and how God develops us and helps us to grow as graduates and fathers. And today, I want to talk to you about an Old Testament story that's found in the book of Genesis, remembering Lot's wife and a family that was on the run. But let me just quickly come to the side for a moment. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like a lot of people have been talking, maybe talking to you, talking to me. They're saying stuff like this. Seems like we're living in the last days. I don't know that to be true, but it does seem like there's just a lot going on. It started a couple weeks ago with the Orlando massacre, and then even in our town, a young lady who graduated Cherokee High School, Christina Grimmie, and then what this past week with the UK and the stock market going down 600 points and all this concern around us, people just come to me saying, these are the last days. Let me just give you another side note. In our local church here, there's a young guy. Matter of fact, my daughter just graduated Cherokee High School, 800 graduates, and the whole ceremony was only 1 hour long. It was like the best ceremony ever. But there was a mom who came who representing her son. Her son's name is Tommy Kennedy, and he was obviously sick throughout this past year. And the day after graduation, he passed away. And so I don't know all the details yet, but they asked to use our facility here on Thursday. I didn't know him, but I guess he was a popular young person. And so we're expecting a great crowd to come through. I think because of leukemia, that body was already cremated, so there's just going to be some pictures. But us as pastors, maybe Pastor Andy and Next Generation Ministry, we're going to be here to help people to mourn. My understanding is there's no spiritual church that's involved, so we're just going to be here and love people. But we want to take advantage of the opportunities to help people, to help families. And that's what this series is about, to help you to grow and be strengthened as a family. Now, there is like this teaching that Jesus was doing with the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were asking him about the end times or the last days. And he talked to them about Noah, how people were eating and drinking and selling and buying, and then all of a sudden the flood came. And then he talked to them about Sodom and Gomorrah and about Lot's wife. And the one text, the one verse is found in the book of Luke. This is it. Verse 32 says, Jesus was kind of telling about the future. He says, remember Lot's wife. Matter of fact, ladies, could you imagine? You don't even have a name. You're just Lot's wife. So what can we learn? If Jesus is talking about the end times, about family, and he simply says, remember Lot's wife. So I want to read to you kind of a lengthy portion of scripture. It's found in the book of Genesis chapter 19 about Lot's wife and this family that was on the run, and how, I have to be honest with you, although there was salvation and grace and forgiveness and hope and love, Lot's wife did not make it. The Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. And some people believe like this is maybe a made-up story or hypothetical story. This is a true story in Scripture about the end times and a family who is focused and moving forward, but one person who turned and looked back. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning." "No," they answered, "we will spend the night in the square." But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you and you could do whatever you like with them." That's a pretty sad story. "But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. Get out of our way, they replied. This fellow came here as a foreigner, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them. They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-laws, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against his people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. Listen, I want to tell you something. There's a lot to laugh about. There's a lot of comedians. You know, we'll even tell humor right here. I'm funny looking. We have lots of humor. And we're talking about the end times and all this stuff. Some people will be, "Oh, this is serious." But other people will just think it's a big joke. I just want to tell you, this service, this sermon, I'm not going to be too heavy, but this isn't a joke. This is like real stuff. This is souls of people are on the line. And so we're going to laugh and have a good time and enjoy, understand, but also there's a seriousness to eternity, and it's a big deal. People go to heaven or hell. Verse 15, with the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, or you'll be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hands and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me or I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It's very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He said to him, "Very well. I will grant you this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. But fleeing there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." This is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. So Jesus said these words. He said these words of, remember Lot's wife. When you're talking about end times, you have somebody who looked back with affection towards the things of this world. But let me talk to you about the family and about the end times, about what the Lord is saying to us. Number one, Lot's wife had spiritual experiences, but she was lost. She was around spiritual things. She was around people who were saved, who were born again, who were on their way to heaven. But she herself was lost. Matter of fact, she had a deep experiences with angels. Notice this, but maybe before we get into this, remember 3 weeks ago I talked to you about a sign that was in my neighborhood? Remember this? Lost small black cat, $500 reward. And I told you, right? We put down our windows. Hey, sissy. Hey, sissy. We were trying to figure out why the cat was worth $500. You know, maybe he swallowed a diamond ring, maybe money or whatever. We don't care. $500. We're like, hey, sissy. I kept wondering, maybe the people found the cat, kept the signs up. Maybe they moved away. But just this week, 2 days ago, found 41 days, black cat, sissy. Thank you. I don't know who found the cat. Well, all I know is sissy is home. But did you notice the language? It's actually a biblical language. Lost, found. If you know the scriptures, right? Remember the prodigal son? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Maybe in that same lost coin, right? And then the lady sweeps out the whole house to find the coin, right? And then there was a third one. What was the third one? Come on, help me out. Help me out. Lost sheep. That's good. Read your Bible, brother. Next week you're preaching. Remember? The 99, right? The 99, and if there's one lost, how Jesus will go and find that one. And to some degree, we were all born in sin, and the Lord came after us, and because we're like that sheep, the Lord kind of pulls us back in. So whether it's in modern world, someone loses a cat and this idea of being found, or a spiritual sense that the Lord kind of brings us in. But this lady, Lot's wife, she was lost, and she remained lost. Go back to verse 16. I'd like you to see this really quickly. When he hesitated, the angels or the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of the two daughters and led them safely out of the city. Picture this. God says, I'm bringing judgment on the city. There's nobody who wants to serve me in the whole city. None. They're godless. They hate me. He goes, so the end is going to come to the city. And the angels grab the hands of the family members and pulling them out of the city. I want you to, this is a deep spiritual experience. By the way, you remember that TV show back in the 1990s, Touched by an Angel? That's where it came from. Just joking. Just joking right there. But grab the hands of the angels of the family. I want to tell you that God wants to do everything in his power, even to send angels for you and your family. He wants to bring you salvation. He wants to bring you hope. He wants to show you direction. We're all in this together. He's trying to pull away. But just because you have spiritual experiences does not mean you are saved. But it is the heartbeat of God that everyone would come to know him. Everyone would have salvation. Everyone would be touched by Almighty God. Notice in verse 16, it says this. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of the wise and of the two daughters and led them safely out of the city. For the Lord was merciful to them. So you're sitting here on a Sunday morning, June 26th. You said, what does the Lord want to do in my life? I want to tell you. The Lord wants to bring mercy and grace to your family. Everyone in this church, God wants to extend out his love and mercy. Maybe you have family members that aren't serving the Lord. They're out there way, they're wild and crazy. What does the Lord want to do with them? He wants to extend mercy. Or maybe you've come here today, you say, Pastor, my life's all messed up. I'm so far from God. Does God still love me? I made a lot of bad decisions and choices. What will God do with it? He wants to give you mercy and grace. Go to verse 19 really quickly. Look what else. Look at the goodness of God. Your servant. Oh, we're going to sing a song now. Jesus, you're all I need. Your servant, I just felt the Holy Spirit lead me on that one right there. Your servant has found favor in your eyes and have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. Look, God wants to give favor. God wants to give kindness to families. But let me just say this. Just because your whole family is saved, Lot's whole family was saved, doesn't mean that you'll be saved. You know, Pastor Jamel was here 2 weeks ago. Nobody in his family was a Christian. No one had received salvation. You know, my situation is completely the opposite. Everybody in my family is saved. But I had a problem. I was a preacher's kid, a pastor's kid. My parents were both great Christians. They still are. But I was lost. I don't care how great a situation, most people in this room, you have some type of religious background. Young people, your parents are born, whatever. But just because everybody else in your family is saved doesn't mean you're automatically saved yourself. You cannot ride the coattails of me. You cannot ride the coattails of your mom or dad or anybody else in the room. You say, well, my grandparents, you know, they gave a heritage. They read the Bible to me. That doesn't matter. It has to be your own salvation. Everybody in Lot's family was saved except the one person, Lot's wife. Now, this city was very wicked. If you remember chapter 18, you remember Abraham was praying? Remember he was praying, pleading, interceding. Abraham was a friend of God, the patriarch of the faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You remember what happened? Interceding says, and God says, if I find 50 people that are righteous, 50 people, I won't destroy the city. Couldn't find 50 people. So now you have Abraham pleading for Lot's wife. And by the way, we should plead for unsaved people in our life, right? Then he dropped it down to 45. We could find 45 people, not Then it went down to 30, then to 20. He said, listen, if I can find 10 people who are righteous, I won't destroy the city. I want to tell you, some people are like doom and gloom in America, right? They'll say stuff, oh, God's going to zap America. I don't think he's going to zap America. And let me tell you why. Because there's lots more than just 10 people who have Jesus Christ in their heart. There's a lot of God-fearing people, so we don't have to walk in fear. But God is trying in his love and mercy to save people, but sometimes people just don't want it. But you could be here. You could like the worship. You could like Sean and Asia. You could like my new shirt. This is J. Crew. J. Crew, we got a guy in the church, works there. I got this for $7. I don't care what you say. I like it. $7. $7, they ship it to your home. It doesn't matter. J. Crew right there. Anyway, you could like the field house. You could like the music. You could like the carpet. But you yourself might not be saved. Lot's whole family was on their way to heaven, being pulled out of the city, on their way to salvation. But Lot's wife refused salvation. If you're here today, there's always a time for us to sing. There's always a time for us to praise God. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. How many of you believe? How many are grateful? This is an old one. How many are grateful that you're saved today? Aren't you just grateful that the Lord pulled you out? And I believe, like you say, well, I'm not sure. I believe the Lord wants to do it. He'll grab angels. He'll grab people, pastors. He'll give you a call. He'll put something across the screen, your computer, something. Go. He wants you. He wants to lead you all the way to salvation. But if you're fighting him, you'll win. God wants to show you mercy and grace today. Number two, not only was Lot's wife had spiritual experiences and she was lost. Number two, Lot's wife had a love for the world more than a love for God. She had a love for the world. Remember what the angel said? It says, don't look back. Move forward. I got to tell you, I'm a church kid. Can I just tell you a story? So in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, the way you built churches were A-frame churches, right? Kind of looked like this. And they had like these posts that would just go. So the church I went to was Bethany Church. I'm just a normal kid. You know, I liked it when things went wrong in a church service so I could laugh. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I liked that when the words went up because everyone's thinking the same thing, right? Well, we had like these beams that would kind of go up, and this lady, she wasn't paying attention, right? So you had like the aisleways, right? And the beam was kind of like in the aisleway. So she's like walking in the middle of service like this, like someone would get up and use the restroom or whatever. And she's just walking, and something just got her attention, like maybe her child, right? And so she's like walking in the hallway. I mean, this is in the sanctuary, walking like the little hallway, and there's this big beam, and she turns around and starts like waving to somebody. She's not paying attention, runs right into the beam, and boom, right back down. I thought it was like the best thing ever. I thought there's commotion in church. I love it. I love when things go wrong. Not so much now, but back then. Don't you just like it when something goes wrong? You're like, well, I'm glad I'm not in charge, but let's see how this goes down, right? Listen, there is great danger when you're looking back. There is a sense that you have to kind of keep your eyes on the road. You see all pictures now, right? You see it displayed. It's when you're texting and driving, they say, look up. There is a sense that if you're looking back, you're missing out. And the angel said, don't look back. What did that signify, or what does that mean for us, especially if you're a believer? When you look back, that's the world. That's where your affections are. That's where the things of the world are. That's where your heart is. It says, don't let your heart be consumed with the things of the world. Don't look back. She turns into a pillar of salt because that's where her loves are. That's where her desires are. Can I just say this for you, if you're a believer? Listen, it's June. It's summertime. In Marlton, people travel and all of this stuff. Sometimes it's hard to keep our spiritual fervor. But I do think in Western world, like America, sometimes because there's so many things, we're commercialized. There's all these desires to make us happy with all these external things. We have got to keep thinking about not loving the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God will last forever. Look what 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says about this love in our heart. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You say, well, I love God. No, you don't. If you love the world, you do not love God. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Listen, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So the Lord's saying, would you focus your eyes on me? Don't look back. The world behind me, the cross before me. There needs to be a sense that we're not of the world. We're in the world. We go to Cherokee High School, Lenape School District. We go to college. We go to Burlington. We go to Liberty University, wherever we go. But we're not really of the world. We understand people curse, people do bad stuff. We understand all this stuff. And we're not prude. We're not angry. We don't hate. But we're not of the world. We're of God. We love God. Look what Matthew says about loving God with all of your heart. This is what the Bible says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Listen, she was deeply committed to the past. She is deeply committed to this world, her affections, her money, whatever it is. And I want to just tell you this. It is possible to come to Marlton Assembly of God and even be a member of our church and still love the world. Because I can't find out if you really do or not. I'm not really looking. But the Lord wants you not to so much love the world, but to love him with all of your heart. So I should come up to you, or if we go on vacation, or we go to a retreat, we should be talking about God's love and God's grace, not so much the things of this world. Amen? Look forward. Ask God to help you. Trust him. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says this. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit soul? John, I was rich, I was famous, I had all this stuff going on. I had a good life, I was happy and content. But at the end, you're almost to the end, you look back and you miss out on this great salvation. Maybe you just, if you're a believer, maybe you just need to focus that way a little bit more. Say, you know what, I need to get myself off of all this worldliness, all this stuff. I need to do a garage sale. I need to focus more on Jesus. I need to come to church more often, Sundays and Wednesdays. I got to focus my eyes on Jesus. My kids need me to focus my attention on Jesus. That's a big deal. How many of you have eaten at the Turning Point in Marlton here? The Turning Point. You know what I'm talking about? They have a bunch of one, Cherry Hill and down the shore. There's a young, there's a new minister in town, right? So he goes, hey, can we get together? I said, sure. You want to buy me lunch? No, I bought him lunch. I'm sorry. I actually found this credit card, and it has been good to me. I've got new golf clubs. I'm just joking. Okay, ready? So we're kind of waiting. You know how at the Turning Point, it's kind of busy and noisy at lunchtime. You had to wait. So we're waiting. And I just kind of noticed there's a couple young guys. Like it's kind of like a bar, but it's not alcohol. It's just you can eat right there. And a couple young guys just talking. I just was kind of looking at them, two African-American young guys. And then they kind of get up to leave, and the one guy stands up kind of like in the middle of the restaurant and commands the room. You know, it's real busy. And he starts talking in the middle of the room. Meanwhile, I'm like, is he a manager? Like who is he? Like, you just don't have people like yell out in a restaurant, not in a public restaurant. You know, he starts going, hello, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful day. I'm just sitting like, it's getting interesting in here. Because I just want you to know how much God loves everybody in this room. And he has a plan for everybody's heart and life, and it's found through the person of Jesus Christ. I was like, man, this guy should not be doing this. I'm going to formal complaint and get a free lunch out of this. No, I'm just joking. And then he just kind of said, he kind of blessed everybody. I hope you have a blessed day. And he walked out. I said, very interesting. Yeah. I'm not sure you could do that all the time. But you know what I said? I admire that young guy. You know, at some point, if this is about heaven or hell, it's about the souls of people, whether people are nowhere or not, at some point you're going to have to open up your mouth and say, listen, I know the truth. I know that like there's a reality to all of this. I know sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes you don't know what to say, not know what not to say. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we know that we're trying to get out of it. Judgment's coming. Like there's like this problem with heaven and hell. And somebody who just kind of like even kind of goes beyond the social norm and just kind of tells people about God's great love in a social environment. I looked at that kid and said, you know, whatever that kid has, I need a little bit more of that inside of me. It may not be in the Turning Point, but if I'm embarrassed of the Lord, or if I don't care about people's soul, or I'm so worldly, or I'm so concerned about my own pleasures or sinfulness or my own bad decisions or choices, and I don't care about people in my family or moving forward to get people out and move them forward, then I'm in the wrong. Just because I know the truth, if I really care about people, genuinely care, at some point I might need to stand up in a restaurant and say this. I looked at that young guy. I meant to kind of just follow him out and just ask him, hey, were you challenging your church to share the gospel? He looked like he was young, like Manny, like maybe 18, 19, 20, something like that. I was kind of dumbfounded, like, what just happened? I was like, that's pretty good. He genuinely wanted to share his faith. You know what? Most of us, we get scared, we get nervous, what people are going to think about us. He just boldly stepped up there. I think it's wonderful. Listen, when you know that you know that people are going to go to heaven or hell, when you know judgment's coming and God's trying in his goodness and grace to pull us forward, God has given us a burden for this community. It rests in the pastor's hearts that people, listen, I know this is a nice community. We pay a lot of money for the taxes, don't we? But people, I don't care if you're like in the poorest section or the richest section, people have eternity. And the message must come from us. And it comes from people who love God with all of their heart. So the question is it the world or is it the will of God? Listen, Lot's wife loved the things of this world. Lord, would you teach me not to love the world? Would you teach me to love you with all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all of my soul? Young people, I want to challenge you. It's very complicated, very difficult. The world that we live in is so challenging. But there has to be the sense that we are not worldly. We're not of this world. We belong to God. So you're going to have to make decisions about music and dances and sexuality, where you go and who you go with and all these different things. And it's not so much compromise. You just say, listen, if it's even on the line, I'm going to choose not to be worldly, but to choose Jesus Christ, not look back, but to move forward in Jesus' name. And some of us just need to be reminded. Some of us just need to be reminded this is not our world. We're moving forward. We're here for a short amount of time, and we're moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen? Don't get caught up in this world and the things of this world. Number three, Lot's wife missed out on God's great family reunion. Let me talk to you just for a moment about the afterlife. Lot looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. Everybody else was saved. Everybody else was now on their way to heaven. Here's the question. Will we recognize and be reunited with our loved ones in heaven? Let me give you the answer. Yes. If believer in Christ, if you've had an older brother or sister, grandma, grandpa, or maybe even someone who died prematurely, if they've gone on with the Lord, you say, well, I'm a believer. Will I be with them forever in the air? The answer is absolutely yes. There's going to be a great reunion, a great family time together. In the Old Testament of the Bible, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when they talked about this reunion, it means gathered, they would use this word, gathered with my people. A believer has this great hope that when they die, they will be gathered up to be with all other believers for all of eternity. When Jesus said he's the resurrection and the life, he has the hope for eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You remember Samuel? I mean, you remember David? Remember David? He was a great warrior, a great leader, but he had some flaws. He liked the women. And it finally caught up to him. Remember, he cheated on his wife with Bathsheba and then killed Bathsheba's husband kind of indirectly by putting him on the front lines. He got killed. But then there was this problem with blood. The blood was on his hands and his child was dying. Remember, David began to pray and to fast for his son. His infant son, he prayed. And then his infant son died. You remember what in Samuel it says this? It says, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. There's this idea that David one day would see his son. He would go and see his son. Believers have this deep in their heart that one day they will see their loved ones in Christ again. Matthew says it like this: many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. At the transfiguration, it was Moses and Elijah. The people up in heaven, we will recognize them again, although there will not be marriage in heaven. So we will recognize people that we love and notice. We'll remember the patriarchs of the faith. There will be this great reunion. But for Lot's wife, she missed out. Think about that. For all of eternity, we're going to be reunited. Pastor John's going to be there. Most of the deacons are going to be there. The pastors, Grandma Wegner, Grandma Colas, who suffered with breast cancer, died way too early. Grandpa Wegner, who died early, they said he died from hard work. Died in his 60s. I remember used to shave him. My parents used to run back and forth to Detroit, Michigan. Three of us in the back of a car. We fought all. This is before minivans. Praise God for minivans and bigger cars. Anybody remember those ones, the hump in the middle, you're trying to sleep on the floor, your back's like this. You remember all that? We would go back there. Grandpa Wegner, from here down, his legs were like real small, like purple. He worked too many hours just to provide in Detroit, Michigan. You say, are you going to see these people again? Absolutely, yes. This is great reunion. But when people are looking back, they're in the world. That's the world. The Bible has this great reunion with the Lord forever in the air. We're going to see. Now, I have a word for you, and I feel deeply in my heart about this. Some of you have gone through great loss, and your heart is discouraged or down. Or I believe that there could be times in your life, even the next couple of years, things are going to happen or discouragement. People are going to die, and it's like, okay, I'm going to go to the funeral. The Bible says this. Notice this. Then when we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, and we shall always be with the Lord, comfort one another with these words. I want to tell you that there could be things that happen in your life, but a believer always has hope with this idea that we're on our way to heaven. And we're going to be reunited together, a family up in heaven, and you don't want to miss that. And it should satisfy and give great joy. And even at a time of a funeral, we believe God that God will take care of us all the way up to heaven. And we are going to see our loved ones once again. You know what stinks about life, even Christians? Life hits us pretty hard sometimes. Bad things even happen to good people. You know, there's people in our church, family members got hit by drunk drivers, killed them. This young kid, I don't know, 18 years old, leukemia, whatever. 18? Way too early. Christina Grimmie, some crazy nut social media guy who liked her, I guess, went nuts, killed. Man, it's devastating. But I was standing there with, I think it was Mark, you know, Christina's brother and hero, just saying, you know, she's in a better place now. Her dad's saying, is better than, you know, that's the best life that she'll ever have. They're trusting God and believing God and pulling people towards this idea of hope that God is a good God and he's faithful. And even though through death, we can still trust the Lord. And, you know, that stinks and it's really hard and it breaks our heart. But God says, comfort one another that we'll be with the Lord in the air forever and we'll be with him forever. You don't want to miss out on that. You say, well, John, okay, maybe not doom and gloom. And a lot of preachers make a lot of money with doom and gloom. America's going down. I actually don't believe that. I feel like God wants to send a wind and a wave of revival. He wants to do it through me and through you. In the last days, God says he's going to pour out his Holy Spirit. I'm not preaching doom and gloom. All I'm saying is at some point, we all come to the end of ourselves, whether it's through tragedy or just we get older, we die, or God forbid things happen. But we must have this deep sense in our heart that God's going to take care of us and we're going to have reunion with the Lord forever with the Lord in the air. Amen. But Jesus said this, remember Lot's wife. She forfeited that. She turned back. Her heart and her affection were towards the world. And her family moved on. It's interesting. I want you to see in this verse, in verse 23, it's a symbol of Christ or heaven. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. And it was kind of like this idea that Jesus had brought them to that final place, that final resting place. It's free. And I just want to tell you that Jesus wants to bring you all the way to eternity and be with him. And things the way they are right now, they won't always be. And so we should not put our affections in the things of the world, but lift up our voice even at the turning point and say, listen, I hope you're having a good day, and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He can heal you, he can set you free, and he can bring you to heaven. And if you'll open up your mouth with the power of the Holy Spirit, God will use you and think about eternity and not the things of this earth. Your life will be completely different if you simply remember, hey, you know Lot's wife? She blew it. What can we learn? Lot's wife, looking back, Lord Jesus, please forgive all my sins of the past. Now keep my eyes focused on you. Would you pray with me? All around us is problems, disease, poverty, death, discouragement. Our political system doesn't give us the ultimate answers. People around us fail us, but there's one person. His name is Jesus, and if we keep our eyes on him, the author, perfecter of the faith, he will see us all the way through. The Lord warns us, remember Lot's wife. When you're thinking about the end times, and you're thinking about heaven, thinking about eternity, remember her. Remember the family member who's dragging behind. It may be that there's people in this room, you need to keep encouraging people. They're falling away. You need to keep inviting them to church. You need to keep praying for them. You need to keep encouraging them. Don't give up on people in your family, the lost people. Pray for them. Invite them to church. Be a soul winner. Be wise. But for the sake of your family, moms and dads, grab a hold of the hands of the angels that are leading you. Grab a hold of the promises of God, the word of God. Hear the words of your pastors and the people who speak life into you and move forward in Jesus' name. Focus your attention on the Lord. These last days are crazy. The world is upside down, but we have hope. We trust him. We believe him. He will carry us all the way through.